This is our second episode zero, where we do character creation. The first one was world creation. We can go back and listen to that one. After this, we will be jumping into the campaign with episode one. Enjoy!
Speaking of characters, then, let's go ahead and get into character creation.
Yay!
Unless you guys do want to talk about specific faces you want to see in the world.
I have an aspect.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, let's just go ahead and get into character creation. What aspect do you have?
Friends in low places.
Ooh, I like that one.
Because my character... Well, actually, we can go ahead and talk about our characters. I was thinking about having an old waterbender, but he doesn't advertise he's a waterbender because they're not very liked. And because he has friends in the air tribe, that's why he has friends in low places, because with him being a traveling salesman and merchant of information, he knows about their underground thing. And he also, since he's waterbending, has ties back to the underwater water city. So that's why I was thinking friends in low places.
Okay. Which aspect are you thinking that's going to be? Is that just a relationship aspect?
Trouble.
Oh, that's your trouble.
Because it also goes into, like, I'm associated with a lower class.
Okay. Good deal.
Sorry, I didn't mean to Bogart. It popped in my head.
Enough.
No, I like it. I could easily see you picking up a stunt like a friend in every brothel or bar. Because you know people in those lower areas or something like that. I can just see, you know, any city you go to. Oh, yeah, I know her, you know, or him.
I know a guy.
Yeah. But it always comes to be the lower class people.
But I was thinking, like, I think for my guy, I don't know about you guys, is I was thinking of an older waterbender, probably, like, that's... Maybe not in the group, but associated. Like, he's been around a while, and he's more associated with whoever we're working for, but he kind of works alone. Sometimes he helps, like, you know, like Gandalfish.
Like, I.
Not really powerful, just socially connected, but.
Like, you could be the group's Iroh.
Kind of, yeah, what I was going for, because, I mean, mechanically, at a game, if we get, like, everybody in, it's going to be, like, six or seven people. And then if I play, that's an extra one. So those games I would be doing just recording things and I wouldn't play. But I think with a character like that, that means kind of like an Iroh.
Alrighty.
No secret Lotus, though.
I'm kind of holding back to give everybody a chance to create their characters. I mean, I've got some ideas. I just don't want to Bogart at the moment. So, Dawn, if you want to go and say your idea first.
Okay. I had some. I think it could still translate over. One of them was like somebody who, an earthbender that was really like obsessed with the whole Avatar Kyoshi thing. So that's her whole thing, is that she's just. She earthbends, and her dancing style is just really, really intense. Like, too intense to the point where she overdoes everything as a result. And is just very, like very nerdy about it, too. Mm. But, about the Kyoshi. But only Kyoshi, because that was where she came from. That little island nation. The other one I was thinking was something similar to what Taylor was saying, where it was like somebody going through midlife crisis, like just, you know, he just does something very, very menial and just wants to do something else because he's just sick of it, and something happened to his family anyway, so he's trying to start fresh, but isn't really. It's like you spend all your life doing one thing, and suddenly you're like trying to do something new when you're doing it at the worst possible time, like that kind of character.
That does sound good.
I don't know which one I'd prefer more, but so yeah, I guess I'm still thinking it out.
Well, I had a couple of ideas. One was the traveling salesman, or maybe somebody who's trying to use the group as a way to create more trade routes for his family. He's an earthbender and uses his earth sense to kind of tell how people are feeling when he's dealing with them. Like, you know, figure out which ways, if they're leaning one way or the other on the deal. Oh, can't push too hard. Oh, in for the kill now. Kind of a support when it comes to actual combat. Not as brute happy. Another idea was I had a couple of non-benders. Both of them would use animals. One was a mounted combat user, kind of like the first Avatar rode around on a cat-goat thing. and he would use a spear, and he was more like a... He would also be more support, kind of like June from the first series. Just kind of... But more of a bodyguard and... protect caravans and stuff, and using his spear on top of the cat to kind of get nice. In position to set other people up. The other one was another... The other Adon Bender was a... Kind of like a... Uses an animal to help transport. Kind of like Appa, only a walking animal or a water animal. Kind of the ideas was the... goat gorilla that Bumi had... Or one of the water, since this is more of a water world, something big and flat that can float on the water so we can get from place to place. So he would be, animal handling would be kind of the idea with the non-benders, one or the other. So I'm kind of, I can fit anywhere, and they're all going to be more a little, some of them are more social than combat, and they're all going to be more support than more front fighter. I guess the mounted combat person would be more the up front fighter.
Mine would be support as well, too. Maybe a glass cannon if it came to combat, but...
We got some basic ideas. I'm sure we'll get a variety of other characters as well.
I can go either way.
But, for those of you just, you know, wanting the mechanics of things, you get 20 skill points... And 3 refresh. You also get 3 free stunts, or stunt points as the case may be. So if you want to be a bender, you can spend a couple of those free stunt points to get your first bending ability. I'd highly recommend those of you that are playing benders or wanting to play benders to look at the class options. Bending... It lets you do great stuff. They're all tied to a specific skill. Well, 4 specific skills, depending on how heavy you are at attacking, defending, and whatnot. Also, because this is based on the old Dresden system, a lot of bending does inflict stress on yourself. So you can only bend so much before it wears you out. There are some exceptions. Well, there's some ways around that, I should say. Earth benders, for example, get a self-inflicted damage reduction. So if they just do little bendings, then they can go at it forever. You know, they're more hardy, more endurance. But you increase the amount of stress based on how much output you want to do. So that's why you'll see most, even in the series, you see most earth benders just, you know, one boulder. Send it in flying, as opposed to Toph or Aang getting these, you know, huge 60-foot square slabs flipping around to put out fires. So that'll still wear you out. You also have to have an aspect on the scene, not necessarily that you can invoke, not necessarily at a cost, but waterbenders, there has to be some water somewhere. In order for you to bend water. Earthbenders, the same thing. Airbenders, it's usually pretty easy to find. Firebenders can use their own aspects because fire is self-generated. And as you spend, you know, if you want to spend a fate point to enhance your roll, whether that be a +2 or a reroll or create, you know, some kind of story moment, you have to have that earth-based or water-based, you know, bending-based aspect. One of the reasons why, you know, if you're playing a waterbender, you might, as your gear, want to carry a bottle of water. As, I can't remember the girl's name now.
Katara?
Aang, Sokka, Katara, thank you. You know, Katara did, frequently. You can also, use around, creating an advantage like Katara did to work up a sweat at one point. So she'd have some sweat water to bend. There's some complicated rules for bending. If, I'm a big advocate of story, and if it's just, fun story and not necessarily going to conflict with anything, we can throw in bending as flavor. You know, if you punch somebody and knock them out and decide you're going to leave them there encased in ice or, bury them in stone up to their neck or something, they're already gone. It's over. It's flavor. That kind of thing is fine. But any kind of contest or conflict, there's going to be some of that.
I'm curious how the earthbending, I was reading it, and it said the earthbenders can't use the features they create, the free invokes on that. So, like, if they create a wall in front of them, they don't get a free invoke in that?
I don't think your version had the scroll pictures, did it? Because I couldn't figure out how to get those going.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess not, but let's see here.
I pulled mine off of your off of the feed.
Right, okay, yeah, the earthbending, it's the exact same thing, just without pictures. The reason for that being that, when an earthbender creates a, giant wall or whatever, there's a permanency to earthbending. So when you create those kind of effects, it just takes a little effort, so you have to spend a fate point to invoke them. But if you do, then you get that stress reduction. So there's kind of the trade-off. The trade-off, so to speak, is that their stuff is more permanent. So you have to, as the earthbender, spend a fate point to kind of mess with that, but also other earthbenders or firebenders trying to blast through, or in this case, waterbenders trying to blast through, are going to have a much harder time messing with that as well, because there's a permanency to earthbending when you're creating aspects anyway. If you're just attacking, launch the rock and kick it towards someone, that's not going to last long anyway. Or the person that gets hit might not last long. Either way.
So how does, never mind. I read it in there. Never mind. Okay, cool. I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like the landscaping, and that could, I would eventually purchase the landscaping if I'm going to have an earthbender. It wouldn't be his primary goal, because he's going to use more of the touch sense, but yeah, just curious. Okay.
Cool. And yeah, I mean, as we go, if there's questions, ask. And obviously, I haven't had a lot of people test this, so if something's obviously broken...
I think I played an airbender in our test, so...
Yeah, that you did. It was an interesting game, too. And you, won a social combat, right off the bat that technically should have been impossible from a logic point of view, so we had to invent some crazy reasons why the guy suddenly changed his mind.
I was going to let y'all make the choice on which character I'm going to play, and then I can start statting that out. Which of the three characters I suggested y'all find the most interesting, and then we can start building it from there.
Let's see. We've got not Iroh. We've got Midlife Crisis.
Are you going Earthbender with the Midlife Crisis, Don?
I'm thinking about it further, and yeah, and actually, I'm going to take it a step further. What if his ability is that he's actually a metal bender, but the thing is, he's done all his life involved metal bending, and he's so sick of it that he refuses to do anything metal-based unless he is forced out of pure desperation.
Well, that could definitely be an interesting character development. I always like it when you have those characters that, have that ability that they're good at, but they hate it for some reason.
I picked up something similar. I should let Joshua know. I think I'm going to go with the Child of the Full Moon.
Okay.
So just one of those things also where it probably won't come up very much. But so far, I think in just waterbending, doing a healing touch.
Go ahead.
I would say my normal just is healing touch. But then under Child of the Full Moon, I'm thinking he gets some kind, he gets like blood bending and he can, you know, ice bending. So when it's not the full moon, he's very normal and passive. But he learned long ago, you know, when it's a full moon, he can do horrible things and he doesn't like it.
But he can do it.
But he can do it. And I was thinking, and then so we've got, we have two characters that can do things but don't like it. I don't know.
Well, since we got two benders, I'm going to go with one of the non-benders, if it's okay.
No, that's really, I was hoping somebody would.
And then, so the choice would be the mounted combat guy or the social guy with the big oppa-type creature. And the oppa-type creature, I was thinking something either like a hippo gator or because it'd be flat and on the water and kind of scary but kind of slow moving. Or a hippo badger so that it could actually dig into the water and mud or dig into the earth so that we could, you know, if we have to get into the earth. So it can't fly like Appa, but, you know, he's got some functionality in that way. And we can all walk around riding on it like they did with Appa.
I was going to say, when you were talking about that, the first thing that popped into my mind, didn't they actually have gatorpotamuses?
Did they?
In the world, that they were kind of these large, you know, they look like, you know, large or more wide, kind of flat crocodiles. You just, when they're in the water, but as they get up, you can kind of see the lower jaw and you just kind of the thick build is more hippopotamus, and they'd go on the land or in the water.
They might have. When I was, I tried not to look too much at the stuff, but I mean, I think there might have been, and I kind of dismissed it because it was too water-based. So I could gotcha. See it.
I mean, again, you know, you guys, you can mix and match and invent whatever animals you want. If you want, you know, a gatoroo or
gatoroo.
You know, whatever you guys can, you know, come up with combining two animals.
Flying hippopotamus. There was that.
Oh, one thing I did want to point out, and you can take it for what it's worth, but one of the things you can do in this game is temporarily purchase powers. Like, you know, you start with your three refresh, and if, say, you want to have, you know, like, you know, this one power that you're going to use just this one time, but not necessarily always use it. You can spend those fate points to temporarily get that power, whatever the power cost is. So if you didn't want to have that permanent cost of metal bending, for example, but you wanted to be able to use it, at some point you could spend the fate point to temporarily use that power. Mm. Does that make sense?
Is it like items of power from Dresden?
No. This is more of, at the start of the session, you decide, you know what, I don't want to change my character, but I kind of want to experiment some, and, you know, let's say they try and go this direction. So, for example, when Katara learns bloodbending, like at the start of that session, she decides, you know, she's going to spend a fate point for the bloodbending power. That's all she has to pay because she's, you know, a waterbender. So she tries it out and finds that it's horrible, and she's doing horrible things to people. And, you know, to overcome a bloodbender, that's great, but she never wants to use it again. Or in the case of Aang, I mean, really, a starting character as an avatar is just going to cost so much refresh, it doesn't make any sense. So instead, you buy the basic build and decide, okay, I'm going to spend a couple fate points just to give him water bending in his avatar state. That way, it looks like he can bend all the elements, but really, he's just freaking out and using what's in the area, because that's all I can afford to pay. And then later down the road, when I get more refresh, of course, I'm going to purchase that power. So all I'm saying is that if you want to try things out, instead of making them permanent on your character, you can spend fake points at the start of a session to say, I have temporary access to this.
Cool.
And if you don't use it, that's fine.
So I'm going to go with the bigger creature, less combat, I mean, he could do combat, but kind of like Oppa was, like just occasionally. But we're using it for... If we have to transport any cargo, he'll be useful for that. I'm going to make him a caravan kid. He's going to be younger, probably early 20s.
Okay. Nice.
He wasn't a caravan. He is a caravan kid, but now he's trying to break out on his own. You join the caravan, but then occasionally you have to, when you hit about 18, 20, you have to go out on your own, make your way a little bit, and then you come back to the caravan, you know, and kind of like the Corrin from Mass Effect.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
So he's got his creature. I'm not sure exactly what it is. You know, if we're going to go in the desert, having a hippo gator is not going to be really useful, but having something that can dig and float on the water would be kind of useful. So I'll figure that out. But
nice.
But he's more social skills is what I can see him doing. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that main aspect of on a caravaner on life quest or something like that. I don't know.
Group aspects. Don't necessarily have to have this right away, but just kind of think. One of the things that kind of helps the group stay together and work together is having a group aspect on your character, or at least a shared aspect with another individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aang, Tara, and Sokka probably all had. We need to help Aang become or master the elements. So just kind of think about
like
whether
Team
it's
Coconut.
Some kind of Team Coconut thing. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be. We all have the same aspect. You and Don could share an aspect, and Don and Taylor could share an aspect, and you know that still ties you guys together.
What about our Adventurers Guild group? We don't really know too much about it.
The group name would probably be a really good aspect for
mine
that.
Mine would probably be, you guys would be like member of this guild, and then my aspect would be former member of that guild. So we still would have ties to each other.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that work?
Could play off of the White Lotus and how they've changed and not corrupted, but become almost commercialized later on in life.
Oh, I said my guy is not part of the White Lotus, because then it's obvious that I'm just a cop. I don't want to be a complete copy of that character.
I was just thinking, because in the second season, or in the Korra, they became more open and they were protecting the Avatar. Well, later on, after the Avatar's gone, and what do we do now? And then, I could see a White Lotus adventuring grilled as being kind of the taking over, kind of helping people for money. Because, you know, they have to.
Kind of like the blades out of Skyrim. You know, we've killed all the dragons and we're dragon hunters. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about not the White Lotus, but some other knockoff, like, people that wanted, like, a similar name? So, I mean, we're starting off at the very bottom, so it's like a knockoff company of that.
The Beige Lotus.
Yeah, like, what's a not-as-cool flower?
You could even do Iroh's, was it the Jade Petal for his tea shop? Or the tea shop caravan? Or
something like the Beige Tulip. Or, I don't know, something not as good.
Water lilies?
Crimson water lilies.
I actually kind of do.
I like that, actually, because crimson's like kind of like but then water lilies is not so Yeah, I like crimson water lilies. Yeah.
Okay, I could go with that. We're the crimson water lilies. There's probably different groups of.
Is that our relationship aspect?
Ooh. What if
that is a relationship aspect? Yes, you can have multiples with different people or with
what
groups.
If it's like the big overarching group of adventurers is the White Lotus, but all of their sub smaller groups has almost like a random generator name of color plus flower, and that's how we became the crimson, you know, water lilies.
I'm fine with that. I like that.
And that's how you know that you're part of the White Lotus, but, you know, you're one of the smaller subgroups.
Yeah. The Crimson Water Lily.
I can just see the group coming in there rolling up. Okay, what are we going to be called? Oh, it's going to be something good. I want to be like the Crimson Roses or something. And you're like, Crimson! Yeah, all right!
Water Lilies.
Water Lilies.
No.
What?
So I'm sorry, was it a White Lotus that assigned you this? Or was it someone in the
bureaucracy? That's the main group.
Or?
Yeah,
that's the main, that's the head corporation.
Gotcha.
And everything below them is a color plus flower to signify that you're part of the White Lotus Corporation.
Gotcha.
So we're a small franchise.
So we're, yeah, we're...
You're a small
franchise.
Franchise
rights.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, so my main
Actually, yeah, we got to do main aspects.
My main aspect is questing caravaner.
I like information runner.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I wrote down I'm an ex-craftsman, because it kind of works with the whole anti-metal thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you going to be crotchety like your character from The Secrets of Nim?
I think I'm just going to be, I don't know, like an older Michael Cena.
Michael Cena? What does that name sound familiar?
Not John Cena? What's his name? The Juno Kid.
Oh, the what?
Yeah, but what? Like older, so like maybe more like John C. Reilly, if anything.
Ah, okay, okay. Nice.
Now, it says other aspects. Is there... Everybody has these three aspects, the gear, relationship, and consequence?
Well, consequences come across as you take... those are normal consequences.
Okay.
They're just other aspects that might be established on your character. You don't necessarily have to have gear. You don't necessarily have to have relationships. But it makes for a much more rounded character if you do. And those are always changing. Your main aspect, obviously, is who you are. Other aspects are just stuff that changes on you, depending on what type they apply to. And you guys are free to pick whatever kind of names you want. You don't have to use anything out of the book. And just somebody had made a list based on different, island and nation.
I don't want to be known as a waterbender, so I'm going to take a non-bending name.
Cool. Oh, one thing that's in this game that wasn't necessarily in any version of Fate I've come across before are the negative skills. You can actually have poor rank in a skill, meaning you're at a -1 whenever you roll it. The advantage to taking those is it gives you more skill points to maybe get higher points. I would highly recommend not going overboard with that. If you like have several skills at -1, you're going to get a lot of problems. But if you take one or two...
That's okay. I had physique at -1.
Yeah.
It worked out okay.
As long as you dodge every attack ever, you're fine.
I was an airbender, so I dodged everything.
It only made me want to try harder, but we didn't have the time.
Shucks.
So yeah, I'd be very leery of reducing your stress down to one stress bar, particularly if you're going to be a bender, because you'll fill up your stresses fast. The Dresden system, if you inflict stress on yourself for doing something, that can go in any of your stress boxes. Unlike most Fate games, stress does not clear as quickly in this game. Your boxes will automatically clear after each session, not after every scene.
Oh my goodness.
You have 4 stress boxes, or stress bars, so that kind of made sense. And there's exceptions to that, like if you do healing, or you decide to take a long rest, or for some reason within the session, there's 3 days in between scenes, then yeah. You have time to rest and your stress reduces, but if it just goes from scene to scene to scene, as it would in most movies or TV episodes, then that won't clear out until the end of the session. The tower that's in Fate Core and most Fate games is still in effect, in that you can't have, you know, 4 level 2 skills and only 1 level 1 skill. You have to have as many below as above. The exception for that is the non-benders, because they can kind of be all over the place. You have to start your character off in a tower build, but once you start leveling up and moving your skills around, you don't have to worry about the tower anymore.
Huh, that's pretty cool. Is I'm looking at the skills. Is status what I want to have connections with people and know people?
Yes.
Okay, making sure.
Status is, you know, completely dependent on other people's perception of you. That's your contacts, I believe it is, in other Fate games. But it's also kind of, you know, how the bureaucracy would officially see you. You know, how high rank you are on paper, necessarily. Not what you dress or what you actually sell yourself as.
Okay.
Is there a version of the resource skill in this one?
I believe that's mostly tied to status. Let me just pull up my skill list.
Yeah, I'm looking at it
somewhere.
On page... Oh, it doesn't have a page on here.
No, the... your version, like, really... the Google version really messed with my pages.
I remember the one I had on there, it, on the side, it had like a little...
Oh, there's a number as you scroll down, I'm
thing
sure.
Where you could... Oh, man. Yeah, I'm on page 25.
There it is. Of course, it's the last one. All right, so resources, it kind of depends on what kind of resources you have. Since resource is a stress bar, you know, status determines how much stress you have in that. If you want to say that, oh, I have this object or that object, you know, you roll for it. And if you fail, you still get the object, but you take the difference in resource stress.
Got it.
If you want to take resources from other people, obviously that's banditry. You can also take artistry as a resource defense in that you can make stuff. And I suppose there's a trade involved in that as well. And then, of course, trickery is resource dodge, as you can kind of get around losing stuff or maybe convincing people that, you know, you don't have to part with stuff or lie that you've already parted with it.
What was the skill that deals with having things, like, in a bag?
Status.
Status, okay.
Is your resource stress. I mean, in this thing, it's all about, you know, how people... In this setting, it's really all about your standing in the bureaucracy, so whether or not they take stuff from you. And status doesn't necessarily mean just to the bureaucracy. Like, you could have the King of Thieves. You could have a high status among... Or the Merchant's Guild, or whatever. And might not necessarily be recognized by the Water Nation bureaucracy, but it still reflects what you have, whereas the gold makes the rules.
Yep.
So it sounds like we'll have a lot of people with status, because they're going to have things, or crafting that make things. Artistry, sorry.
It looks like mine's at 3, but I mean, I'm just kind of playing with it.
I'm just trying to make it fit with the character.
You have until our next session in a couple of weeks from now, or until the first time you play, if you can't make that one, to lock the characters in. So if you don't make all the decisions tonight, that's fine. Tonight's just kind of as we're building the world and, you know, talking about it collaboratively. And I'm here to answer questions in person, as much in person as Google Hangouts can be.
Also, my guy isn't really, he may be social, but I don't see him as being a talky social. More of just, I have things and barter.
Okay.
I mean, he's a little bit, but he's not a face, I guess.
I'm going to try to go more face. Because he is Satish from the ruling family of hundreds. You know, kind of what I'm going to go for.
Nice.
He is destined for greatness.
Oh.
Nice.
And weapons is just how good you are with weapons.
Yep.
Okay.
Physical attack and defense with weapons, working weapons, you know, if you encounter a cannon or a ballista or something, operating large weapons. There's also arm yourself, which is you can create an advantage to, you know, grab a weapon or grab an item to use as a weapon. And then there's your weapon for using your weapon skill. But most people that have high rank in weapons are going to have some weapon as a gear.
Crafting. Where are you getting?
Crafting is a feature under artistry.
Okay.
And so there's 20 skills, and like I said, there's kind of sub skills.
Oh, you already have. Yeah, there's a quick. The quick list is what I'm going off of. It has. I need instinct. I need more points, Joshua.
Sure. Give yourself some negative in your stress skills, and that'll give you a couple more.